Please be seated. And of course, you just sang a paraphrase of the 121st Psalm. And now I'm going to, in a moment here, read it. Psalm 121, and once again, this is this summer we're going to be in a section of the book of Psalms. Starts with 120 and it goes through 134. It's called the Psalms of Ascent, climbing psalms. These are the psalms that were traditionally sung by pilgrims making their way up from. Well, making their way up to Jerusalem. Any way getting into Jerusalem, you go uphill. And pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, preparing to worship at God's temple, would sing these psalms. Hear now the word of God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may know that in the past, I've had a theological bone to pick with the Sound of Music, and you may remember there's a song in the Sound of Music, and by the way, let me preface all this by saying, because I know some of you are out there saying, heretic, how dare you? I love the Sound of Music. I love the musical. I remember going to see it with my family as a boy and Warner's Theater, downtown Fresno. They don't make them like that anymore. Anyway, we digress. There's a song that I have a theological bone to pick. Remember in the garden, after the captain and Maria have professed their love for each other, and they sing... somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good, right? Something good happens to me, I must have done something good to earn it. Okay? This sermon has nothing to do with that. This is a theological bone to pick with another part of the movie where they are getting ready to escape, the Von Trapp family is getting ready to escape from the Nazis, and Mother Superior says to Maria, remember, Maria, I lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. And the idea being that they're headed up into the mountains, and the psalm says, the Mother Superior is implying that God is somehow especially up there, and he will help you. That's well-meaning. And it really misses the point of Psalm 121. You've seen this, maybe you've seen this on a greeting card. I have. I've even seen it on a church bulletin cover. A beautiful picture of a mountain and a mountain peak, maybe snow-capped. And then the caption down below, I lift mine eyes unto the hills. from whence cometh my help? As if somehow off that beautiful mountain, God is especially going to come down and help me. Once again, it completely misses the point of Psalm 121. Remember, these are the Psalms of ascent. The pilgrims are making their way toward Jerusalem, and along the way, the pilgrims are looking to the surrounding hills. I lift mine eyes to the hills. And then comes a question. Where does my help come from? Because the hills are, the psalmist is not calling to mind the presence of God. The hills are the high places where the pagans worship. The hills are the high places where Baal and Asherah are worshipped, with sexual debauchery and drunkenness. You may remember the way the Baal was worshipped when Elijah had the contest on Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal cutting themselves, blood flowing out, as somehow making an offering to Baal. That's what the psalmist is probably referring to. I lift mine eyes to the hills as I make my way up toward Jerusalem. Where does my help come from? Who is a reliable help in life? Who can I trust on this journey through life? Because I look around at the high places and the false gods. My help is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He made every one of these mountain peaks. I won't find him there. He reveals himself in all creation. He reveals himself in his word. And I'm headed to Jerusalem to worship him alone. The Holy One of Israel is not like other gods. Indeed, all of the other pretenders to the title of God are phonies. The Psalms are filled with metaphors about God's unique authority. Let me just review some of them for you. These are all from the Psalms. The Lord is the one who rides on the clouds as a chariot. He makes the heavens roll up like a scroll. He calls forth and they are created. The whole earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. At his rebuke, the mighty waters of chaos flee. He sets the bounds beyond which the waters cannot pass. At his command, the mountains rise, the valleys sink down to the place that he appoints. The giant sea creatures look to him for food. The Lord does not tolerate arrogance or injustice or deception or any kind of wickedness. He demands absolute righteousness and humility and contrition. And he will abundantly pardon those who turn to him with their whole heart. But he will destroy those who sneer at him or go after other gods. Now, Baal and Asherah, on the other hand, they were fertility god and goddess. Compared to the God of Israel, they were remarkably tolerant. The followers of Baal had no problem mixing Baal worship and worship of the Lord, or any other gods for that matter. But one of the things that is unique about the Lord, and this is often misunderstood too, remember, the Lord our God is a jealous God. He won't share your heart with phonies. He won't share the place that belongs only to him, because you were made by him and for him. The Lord is jealous for the unmixed devotion of his people. You see, Baal worship is more convenient, but Baal doesn't care about you. Baal and Asherah could care less about you. The Lord loves you. The Lord has loved you with an everlasting love and makes you a promise that he will not let you go. Only the Lord has power to save. Only the Lord has power to deliver. So, question. As you and I walk the upward way in this life, and by the way, for a long, long time, journey has been the metaphor of the spiritual life. And you see this throughout the Psalms of Ascent. You see it throughout the Bible, really. As you and I walk the upward way of life, where does our help come from? Where does your help come from? Where do you look for help? Now, down here in this valley, we can look around. We can see mountain peaks all around the Treasure Valley, and they're very beautiful. But I've been up in the hills. I have not seen a single altar to Baal and Asherah. But make no mistake, Baal and Asherah are vigorously worshipped today. In fact, they're probably the most commonly worshipped gods in our society. Baal and Asherah were fertility gods. They were the gods of sensuality and material abundance and material success. Today they're known by different names. But to worship them, all you got to do is turn on the television. Or maybe while you're driving through town, I lift mine eyes unto the billboards. What are they holding up to me as ideal? And something, what are they holding up as what will be my help? Once again, same thing when I watch the television. Same thing when I go online and surf the internet. I lift mine eyes unto the computer screen. What's it telling me about from whence my help comes? So as you walk your journey to Jerusalem, pray. I lift my eyes to the television. I lift my eyes to the billboards. I lift my eyes to my computer screen. Is that where my help comes from? No. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He made every good gift. Newsflash. Baal does not care about you, mainly because he doesn't exist. But he's a lie, and everything he represents is a lie. But the Lord cares for you, and the psalmist lays this out for us. Look at verse 3 and 4. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. It's an image of vigilance. And I love that promise because I'm not very vigilant, and I can get through. Well, brothers and sisters, I can get through entire days without a thought of God entering my head. And I'm paid to talk about God. Isn't that true? Don't tell me I'm the only one here. But God is vigilant, even when I'm not. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. And this may be a reference to the Baal worshipers had a belief that Baal does need to take naps every now and then. And that's why he doesn't respond sometimes. And this is probably why, if you remember the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, when the prophets of Baal couldn't get Baal to send fire, remember Elijah taunted them, "Yell louder. Maybe he's taking a nap." But the Lord, verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, your guardian. He's vigilant. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He's your shelter. and particularly this idea that the moon shall not strike you by night. The ancients had a belief that the moon could have an ill effect on you. You've heard the phrase of being moonstruck? That's where this comes from. Well, and you can even hear it in our word lunacy, that mental illness is somehow, this is an ancient belief, the mental illness is caused by the moon. Now, the psalmist isn't saying that, but he's using it as an image. The sun's not going to beat you down by day. The moon's not going to strike you by night because God is protecting you. Nothing in creation can ultimately harm you because the one who made it is vigilant to care for you. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Now, I want to point something out, and this is very important. The Lord will keep you from all evil. It doesn't say the Lord will protect you from every harm. It doesn't say the Lord will protect you, prevent every illness. It doesn't say that the Lord will save you from any loss in life. He will protect you from evil. He will keep your life. Both Jews and Christians have always read this way. It does not mean no accident or distress or tragedy will befall us. What it means is that no distress will have evil power over you. The purpose of evil will always be thwarted because God has you in his hand. This is what we mean. Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? It doesn't say nothing bad will ever come into your life, but we pray to be delivered from evil. And I'm convinced that that prayer is answered in each one of our lives about 15 times a day, and we don't even know it. I want to share with you something that I've shared this little story with you before. It's one of my favorite quotes from a great philosopher named John Moran, my dad. I'm not sure I ever admitted that when he was still with us on this world. But my dad was in the Navy in the Second World War. And he lived through, and it was a very famous, at the time, it's kind of a distant memory now. In June of 1945, there was a typhoon that came very near the island of Okinawa. A number of U.S. Navy ships were sunk in this typhoon, quite a few sailors lost. My dad was on a very tiny ship called an LSM, a landing ship medium, which he said was like riding a cork out in the middle of the ocean. And because of the typhoon, they had to get away from the shore, put out to sea. You don't want to be near the shore when the storm hits. And my dad had a very dry sense of humor. He said, you can ride out any storm so long as the ocean stays outside the ship. You can ride out any storm so long as the ocean stays outside the ship. That's the message of Psalm 121. God will guard your life. No evil can break through his protection and work evil in your life. Yeah, there will come losses. There will come hurts. There will come illness. One day every one of us is going to face death. But evil will never get the upper hand. You will be a victor. Trust in Christ. You will be victorious through it all because he keeps you. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Isn't that good news? Amen. Let's bow together for prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for the wonderful promise of this psalm. Help us to hold on to this promise when the storms come into our lives, that you are our keeper, you're our guardian. You will keep us from all evil. Indeed, you've defeated all evil. And one day, every evil purpose in this universe will be finally and completely put down. And your righteous reign will be all in all. Lord, keep our eyes fixed on you as we make our upward journey. We lift our eyes up to the hills. From where does our help come? Our help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And it's in your name we pray it, Lord. Amen.